But let's get into the final section of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. So let us pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we gather once again Sunday morning, and Lord, we come with a heart prepared to learn of You, Your Word, Your truth. I pray that we would be equipped to do the work You've called us to do. Jesus, I think of when You blew on the disciples, You said, as the Father has sent Me, so I send you. Help us to prepare for that sending in our local Jerusalem and abroad, Lord. Help us to learn of You today, to walk with You, to worship You. Holy Spirit, give me the grace needed and the direction needed to teach Your holy word in a way that's pleasing unto You, Father. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's family said, amen. Thank you. Just to recap, we went through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. We're ending now, so those two letters at the beginning of the year, as I mentioned, with exceptions for special days, so on and so forth. But a lot of learning in these two letters as I was going back through 1 and 2 Peter. And think of some of the sub-themes within the letter. And one of them being our temporal place. Peter encouraging those that he's writing to, those scattered abroad in the five regions that were mentioned in 1 Peter, encouraging them to live here in a way that's pleasing eternally. Because as Peter said in one of the letters, when he would take off this earthly tabernacle, always a sobering reminder of the brevity of life. And last week, Peter was speaking about the day of the Lord, the return of the Lord, and so we pick up with that theme, and you saw the title of the sermon, Growing in Grace, and what has become one of my favorite verses, 2 Peter 3:18, is an ending. Peter ends with a benediction or a blessing for the writers, for the readers of this letter. So let us start off in verse 10 that dovetails the idea in the passage last week of chapter 3. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now I'd like to pause there because I must admit to you I never saw this before. Of course I've read 2 Peter several times. Never before did I see that the Big Bang Theory was in the Scriptures. You see? I was astounded at this, that last week, speaking about creation and how mockers and scoffers will attack creation, they'll go right to the foundations. Isn't it funny that God says He will destroy the heavens and the earth, create a new one with a loud noise? So when you speak to an atheist or you speak to an evolutionist and they say to you that they believe in the Big Bang, you can say, I do as well. Let me explain it to you. And in all seriousness, I do mean that we must have the wisdom and the knowledge and the learning. We must be disciples of the Word of God to be able to explain these things to those who are unbelievers, atheists, or those who are seeking, who are agnostic, who have doubts about the existence of a God. We must be able to explain these things. And you can explain to them, there is a loud noise that God speaks of. And this heaven and this earth will pass away. And of course, he goes on, he says that that day he talked about will come like a thief in the night. Talked about the parable of the 10 virgins last week. 5 had oil ready, 5 did not, all were sleeping. And the ones that didn't have the oil went to the ones that didn't, said, please give us some of your oil. Give us some of the real, the genuine transformation, the holy living, the godly life. And of course, they said, no, we can't do that. And the door was shut. And that speaks of true transformation and imitation. The truly converted and the falsely converted. And so we as a people, and Peter is encouraging the readers as a people to be ready, because Jesus will come in a time when you think not. When everybody's scoffing and everybody's mocking and everybody's sleeping, Jesus will come just like that thief. in the middle of the night. And only those that hear the call of the bridegroom will be ready. So this speaks of the future preparing, and then we'll get back to the present. He says, in which the heavens shall pass away as a red with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So verses 10 through 13 are going to speak of this new heaven and new earth. 14 through 18, living in light of that truth, in the truth of that promise. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That means conduct in King James. In all holy conduct and godliness. So going back to speaking about the future, but if you're preparing for the future, this is how you're supposed to live in the present. How? Holy conduct, set apart conduct, and godliness. That's how we're to live. We're to prepare for what? The new heaven and the new earth that Revelation 21 speaks of. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. God's word just told us how that would be with a fervent heat, with a loud noise, and there was no more sea. Now understand, John the Revelator is writing this 30 years after Peter wrote this, affirming that it indeed is God the Holy Spirit that is the author behind it. He's in the island of Patmos receiving this revelation of God, Revelation chapter 21, speaking and affirming the same things that Peter was in his final days in about 64, 65 AD, 30 years prior to John. And it goes on in Revelation 21, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Love that illustration because it's so practical. Now this, in the terms of a bride, is the city of New Jerusalem, but God, we know, calls us His bride also, as I mentioned already, the parable of the 10 virgins. Ephesians chapter 5, great is the mystery of godliness. I speak concerning Christ in the church, Paul said. That is so practical. For those of us who are married, we understand that. Could you imagine, husbands, if you spend no time with your wife, if you don't care for your wife at all, if you knew nothing about your wife, what would your marriage really be? It may be a marriage that has no oil in the lamp. It's really not a marriage at all. I hear stories all the time. In fact, I was disheartened to run across someone this morning that told me that their parents are getting divorced. This is a situation that grieves the heart of God. And it grieves the heart of God when somebody who's married to Him starts to lose that oil, starts to sleep, starts to have other things prioritized in their heart, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. And that seed starts to get scorched out and choking out. And everybody in this part of the country, not everyone, but many have already moved. I was looking at some statistics recently about the most populated, the areas people are most moving to in the United States. And number one is Texas. Florida is up there, number two, and Georgia and Carolina. And when you prepare to move, of course, you get the house ready, you get everything ready, and you take off. But how many of us are preparing for the new heaven and the new earth, for eternity? And this is what Peter is trying to encourage these readers to see in his final words. These are Peter's final words of his life on earth. And he's saying there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And John the Revelator, as some call him, continues in Revelation 21 in verse 3. He says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. verse 6 of Revelation 21, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Even in Revelation chapter 21, even in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, Jesus is still giving the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride, that's the Bride of Christ, the Spirit and the Bride, New Jerusalem, is still extending the invitation to those who do not believe to come and drink of this water of life freely, to drink of Christ, to believe upon Christ. And some of you today need to drink upon the water of Christ. The lamp needs to be trimmed. You need to get the flame up a little bit. There's an area of your life that needs correction. It's causing a divide in your marriage to Jesus Christ, in your allegiance to Jesus Christ. I've told you this before. You might be surprised to hear this. Some of the greatest things, horizontally speaking, that God gives to us, like family, for example, can be the greatest obstacle vertically. Jesus said your enemies will be in your own house. Mother against daughter, father against son, sister against brother. You must realize the cost of the cross. You must realize what Jesus was saying. He said, he desires all. Nothing lukewarm. The illustrations are very clear in Scripture of marriage. Why is Peter used the term beloved here? As he grows in the grace and the knowledge of God, understanding who this Jesus is that he physically walked with, but he really didn't know until the Holy Spirit came. And then he realized that it requires all of him. Everything. Not 50%, not 75%. The call of God is complete allegiance to Jesus Christ. Completely. I met with a couple earlier this week. A really nice couple. Good couple. And we were speaking about a course that they offer. And it's a good course, I believe. I don't know all the ins and outs, but it's a good course. And it has to do with biblical citizenship, how to live as a citizen according to the Bible. But this is what I said to them. My concern is this, that Christians, some Christians, not all, but maybe those who don't have enough oil in their lamp, aren't really living for Christ, will start carrying the flag rather than the cross. Our passports, if you have one, when you open them up, spiritually speaking, should not say the United States of America, should not say the Republic of Kenya, should not say any country other than the Kingdom of Heaven, as the Apostle Paul said. That's who we represent here on earth. Yes, we are United States citizens. Yes, we are thankful for this country. But no, it does not take precedence or allegiance to the one who died for us. As we remember on Memorial Day, we always ought to remember, as this is one of the themes that Peter, in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he's saying, I'm going to stir up your mind to remember the most important things. In my departure, I want you to remember that evil teachers, men will come in teaching you falsities, wanting to cause you to fall, but please hold on to the truth of the gospel, to the surety of the scriptures. Mockers and scoffers will come in. They'll attack creation. They'll tell you Jesus isn't coming back, but hold on. Carry the cross. Walk with the cross. Let nothing distract you, because before you know it, your tabernacle will be gone. Your life will be over. And you'll stand before a holy God. And it won't be about who you served, other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that's called faithful and true. He says you need to live holy. This new heaven and this new earth requires holy conduct, godliness. Verse 12, looking for future again, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, verse 13, we, according to his promise, future, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Preparing for the future. Texas is great. Florida is great. There's a lot of great states in this country. But none of them will compare to the new heaven and the new earth that is prepared for who? The bride. Those who are married to Jesus Christ. That is the greatest, and that is eternally speaking. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, and I just want to mention something that may be minor to you but was major for me. In 1 Peter and 2 Peter, this term beloved is used a total of 10 times, five times in the last chapter. Peter speaks to the precious bride of Christ as beloved. Why? Because he's growing in grace. Because he's understanding now who Jesus really is. That Jesus was full of compassion and love and truth and mercy, full of grace. And as he's started to get to know Christ better through the power of the Holy Spirit and reflecting back on those times when he failed and those times when he was too strong in his own flesh, where he was too impulsive, where he spoke where he should have been silent, he's understanding now who this Christ is and who the ones are that Christ died for, including him. So when he addresses them with fear and trembling and love and says, beloved, loved of God, that's anybody who's in Christ. That's those who have bowed their knee to Christ, who have repented. They've had a change of mind and believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You are now beloved in Christ. Peter knows this now. He understands it. His final days. He only has a year or two left as he writes this, if that. And he knows it. And he's ending with grace. Isn't that how you want to end your race? With grace. You don't want to end bitter. You want to end better. Better in Christ. You want to get to know him more. Says in 1 John, talks about those who know him. Fathers, they just know him. As you grow in Christ, you just rest in the grace of God. You don't have to strive anymore. You don't have to try to climb a ladder. You don't need to be in the spotlight. You just know the Father because you've grown in grace. It says, young men, they've overcome the wicked one. That's great. But then you just realize, as you age in Christ, you understand how powerful the grace of God is and how wonderful it is. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Aren't those timeless words? Speaking of Jesus. So Peter, as he's growing in grace, the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of this letter. It says verse 14, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. That means work hard, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Why? Marriage. Altar. Marriage supper of Lamb. Why? Because Christ is coming back. Because you are going to meet Christ. Because when it's all said and done, you will sit down at a wedding feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And no one gets in to the marriage supper without the invite. Without receiving the invite. You see, the invite, as I mentioned, is all throughout Scripture. Revelation 21:6, Revelation 22:17. But you must receive it. You must believe by faith. And then the righteousness of the saints, you'll be pure and you'll be holy in the eyes of God because the righteousness of God has been transferred or imputed to you because of the blood sacrifice of the Son. And then you'll be there. You'll be the marriage supper, the new heaven, the new earth. You say, this sounds really radical. You know what sounds radical to me? Artificial intelligence. You know what sounds radical to me? Everything that's going on around us. God can do far, 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 far more greater things than this. If this is hard for you to believe, it's because you have not faith. The Word of God says hope deferred makes the heart sick. We are to be a people of hope. We are to be a people of faith. We are to be a people that grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. without spot, holy conduct, godliness, blameless. Why? Verse 15. Listen to what Peter says. An account that the long suffering for our Lord is salvation. Why is God so long suffering? Because He loves people. Why is God so long suffering? Because He loves those made in His image. His image bearers. The greatest work of God sits before me right now. God's greatest creation is man on the sixth day. He said it is good. In spite of yourselves. That was the sovereign plan of God that began in Genesis. The sovereignty of God, the sovereign plan of God was the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. The sovereign plan of God was to give you eternal life, to give you and I eternal life, to be reconciled, brought back to God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, through the blood sacrifice of Christ, and be a partaker of Him and His kingdom here on earth, the new heaven and the new earth, when you depart from this earthly tabernacle. It's long-suffering. He says, even as our beloved brother Paul, there's that official connection to the Apostle Paul in his writings. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him that is written unto you. I already mentioned a parallel between the Apostle John and Peter, and now Peter is making a connection to him and his companion Paul. You see the same theme throughout the letters. You see the same calling to the lost throughout the letters. Because it's the Holy Spirit behind it, moving these men. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles or letters, speaking in them of these things, now listen carefully, in which are some things hard to be understood. Do you know why? Because the Bible is not Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs, and Ham. It's not a cow jumped over the moon. Now, I've read all those books many times, okay? Some of them more than I'd like to read. I mean, I've read a lot of those books. Can I tell you, they're very easy to understand, okay? If you read Dr. Seuss, you're going to understand Dr. Seuss the first time you read it. The Bible is never meant to be read like Dr. Seuss or like a children's book. This is a holy book. This is to be studied into eternity. You see? You have to spend time in God's Word. You know what can never be replaced by scrolling? Stillness. Stillness. Not scrolling, stillness. To hear the voice of God as you read the Word of God. To let the Word of God get in your eyes and in your ears and in your heart so that you can live a holy, blameless life. So the incorruptible seed can start to transform you and fill up that oil. You see, the Word of God, it's holy, it's immutable, it's living, it's transformative. It's been tried, it's been tested, it's incorruptible. God says He magnifies it above His name. Word of God. You're not going to understand everything in the Word of God right away. Try to read Ezekiel 38 and 39. Give me your commentary on it. I'd like to hear it. There's sections of Scripture I'm still wrestling over. I don't completely understand. You say, you're the pastor. I know. I'm sure there's sections of Scriptures you wrestle over. I don't have all the answers. Isn't it funny when people say this? You go up and you talk to somebody and they say something like this. It's hilarious. I don't laugh out loud. But they're like, yeah, let me tell you, talk to me. Yeah, I read the Bible 6 times. Okay, let me understand this. You are lost, radically lost, and you're telling me you've read the Bible 6 times? Tell me about Leviticus that you read. You know they're lying. This book will mean nothing to you unless you have oil in your lamp. Unless you have the Holy Spirit, you won't have any understanding of this book. In fact, what I'm saying to you right now would sound like Mandarin or Chinese or some other language. Because the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. This is a holy book, written by a holy God for holy people. Remember when Peter said in 1 Peter, be holy because I am holy. Take this divine, you can be a divine part, you can be a partaker of the divine nature of Christ. And the Holy Scriptures will help you. They will help you do this. Become a partaker of this divine calling, of this divine nature.
So some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, the King James says, rest. But this is distort, misuse. You see? As they do also the other scriptures. Why? Unto their own description. Going back to false teachers. Going back to those that should not be teaching the Word of God because they have not studied the Word of God themselves. They have not read the Word of God. They distort the Word of God. They twist the Word of God. And they cause others to stumble with them. Very important what you're listening to. Very important. And I've told you in the past, I'm absolutely astounded. Absolutely astounded at some of the preachers and teachers, some of those who claim to be Christians listen to. Because it has nothing to do with this book. It has nothing to do with the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, it has no power. It's not transformative. It's not incorruptible. And therefore, their lamp is starting to dim. Because all they're getting is a big pot of flesh. This should be the center. The center of every church service. The Word of God should be at the center. The reading of Scripture, the preaching of the Gospel, the teaching of the Word of God, the singing of Scripture, the meditation of Scripture should be at the center. It's God's Word. It's a more sure word of prophecy, Peter says. This has been tested. This has been tried. You can count on it. Prophecies that have been fulfilled, thousands. He says in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, once again, the final time, seeing you know these things before, beware, a warning, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See, it's very easy to do. In this day and age, it's very easy to do. If you're not staying in the Word of God, if you're not staying with the people of God, if you're not staying rooted and grounded in the love of God, in the grace of God, it's very easy to all of a sudden get lulled into sleeping as if some of the things going around us are completely fine in the eyes of God. As if it's okay. It's okay to cohabitate. You know, it is 2024. It's okay to live with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. No, it's not. No, it's not. In the eyes of God, it's not. It's okay to, you know, party like everybody else does. Is that holy? Is that spotless? Is that blameless? Is that holy conduct? No, it's not. Well, it's okay if somebody feels like they want to be something else. No, it's not. You're made in the image of God. It's not okay in the eyes of God. And Christians have to stop being pansies. Christians have to stop being so weak that they just cave to everything. That's not steadfastness. That's not steadfastness. That's not standing on the truth. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. You ever see a lion in real life? Bold. Everybody knows who the king of the jungle is. And we do that with a meekness. And we do that with the power of God. Remember Peter? At Pentecost, that's when he started to get it. He stood up and he preached the gospel with boldness. And 3,000 were added to the church. Now we're going to be doing that, by the way, at the end of June. At the gazebo. I don't know how it's going to go. Might shake things up a little bit. But that's what God desires. Listen, Tom said something that was very true this week. See, inside Spencerport Bible Church right now and across probably the country, for the most part, many of you know you are beloved. And the beloved come together and we celebrate Christ and we learn of Christ. And then the beloved goes out to the cursed. You see, I didn't read the last part of chapter 21 about the new heaven and the new earth, but here's the bad news. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, how do I get around that as a Christian? You cannot. So you are either beloved or you are condemned. There's no in between. I believe it was last week. My wife was not here. She took my little one to a dance recital thing. Hello, Brother Jack. Took my daughter to a dance recital. And interestingly enough, as she went into a local coffee place,
there was a very small coffee place. There was a woman there giving tarot card readings. And the woman asked if she wanted a tarot card reading, and she said, "No, I follow Jesus Christ." And the woman said, "I do too." "No, you do not, my friend. No, you do not. You are a sorcerer and you need to repent." "But we don't want to, you know, don't want to hurt feelings." Do you care enough about them that they don't burn? Do you care enough about them that they don't burn with fire and brimstone according to what the Holy Scriptures say? Do you care enough that God's Word says this? Do you care at all? If you do, your lifestyle will say it and you will say it. I've told you this before. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is a word spoken ministry. You could mow every lawn. You could give out bottles of free water every day. You could take care of somebody for 100 years, wait on them hand and foot. And if you never tell them it's because of the transforming power of Jesus Christ, they will perish in hell. That's the gospel. I already told you the good stuff. New heaven, new earth, no more pain, no more tears. And God is a gracious God that in the final two chapters, He's saying, "Please come unto me." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, drink of this water freely. There's no work you have to do. There's no test you have to pass. I've done the work on the cross. Believe upon me and you'll have eternal life. You will be beloved. I will look at you through the lens of my Son, through the sacrifice of my Son." That's the gospel. You say, "Well, I don't hear that a lot. I don't know what to tell you. It's just the Scriptures." What are you listening to? What are you spending time with? "Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, we'll end with grace, which I'm thankful for. But grow in grace. Man, I love that. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Peter's final words. This is it, man. There's nothing else recorded. This is what Peter says. After it's all over, after walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, living several years after, all the trials, all the beatings, all the failures, he wants to end with an encouragement, a benediction to these people, saying, "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you also, being led with the error of the wicked, fall away from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, as he continued to get to an understanding, a knowledge of who this Jesus is, you know what happened? This is what happened. He stopped chopping off ears. He stopped speaking so impulsively. He stopped being so prideful and arrogant. He stopped diving in headfirst without really considering what you're diving into. See, the old Peter, the unconverted Peter, that was younger, stronger, more prideful, he was less thoughtful, more impulsive. But this Peter that's about to meet Christ eternally, this Peter, listen, and maybe I pray, this is me and you today, I pray God works in and through me, because I know there's a lot of work to be done in this tabernacle, I admit that. And I pray you're in the same boat, that God will continue to work and grow you in grace as we get to know Jesus better. Listen, I've some general observations of people who have grown in grace. Not the law, by the way. You cannot grow in the law. The law stunts, it kills. It's friendly fire. You will kill other Christians in the law. You will kill people inside and outside the camp because you think you're better. And you're not. It's all grace. It's all grace that's been received freely. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And Peter has a full understanding of this now as he's about to meet the King forever that he walked with. Some general observations. People who have grown in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they have more understanding of people and their lot in life. They're not so quick to speak. or get angry, but they listen first. They're tempered. They have some scars to prove it. They've been through some valleys. They've had some testing. They're more forgiving, realizing they too can make the same wrong, sin, or trespass. They desire to be in the camp of the ones who dropped the stones for the woman caught in adultery rather than the ones that cast them or wanted to cast them. They know him. As I mentioned in 1 John, they know him, you see. The strength of God, the power of God, begins to take residence fully in your weakness. You become a servant. I love this. I won't embarrass the person. But the greatest title that God can give you, you know what it is. I had a meeting earlier this week and with a person, had no desire for a title, been given opportunities to have a title. He didn't want them, just like my friend John Salmon. But I said, I'm going to call you Mitumushi, servant of God, in Swahili, you see. What a title that is. What a title that is. Somebody who's full of grace. They know Jesus because they're full of grace. They forgive people. They love people. They're merciful to people. They understand. As Paul said, not I, but Christ in me. I am what I am by the grace of God alone. Whether you're a pastor, a bus driver, a school teacher, a salesman, by the grace of God, you are what you are. And how wonderful it is to go out and give grace to the undeserving, because that's what happened to you and I. We received grace. You say, well, I don't really understand. You won't understand until you receive it, because it's supernatural. It doesn't make sense. It's not deserved. Christ did the work. You receive the gift by faith. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. So I pray that as this local body grows in spirit and in truth, and perhaps physically as well in numbers, that we would be a people that grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the second part of this benediction, listen to it, says, but grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now, that's the present, that's today, and forever. That's the eternal future. Amen. The last words of Peter are not one of his own. That's God. That's God in the man that we always talk about, who does the foolish things when he walks with Christ, but man, did he come to know him. Man, did he grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, beloved. We'll end with that today as we end 2 Peter. You can't get to know the Word of God. Now, it's kind of unfair because I'm in a position where I have to. If I don't read this and I don't study this, then there'll be nothing to give. So it's kind of unfair, I must admit that. But I can tell you this, to absorb the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and to meditate upon the Word of God, it is transformative. And I will tell you, you will get challenged week in and week out by what you're reading. God will point fingers at you first so that we can be those blameless people, those people without spot or wrinkle, the bride adorned for Christ, becoming holy like He is. But let me just encourage you, get excited, be excited about the times we live in. Don't be a hopeless Christian. Be excited. We have opportunity here. We have opportunity in this fellowship to serve amongst ourselves and serve one another, but we have opportunity outside of here. Don't believe the facade. Don't think because there's a nice bridge and an even moving water canal. Don't think that those people inside that coffee house or inside Tops or Slayton or the hair salon, don't think that those people, some of them, they're going through tremendous trial and all of them need Jesus Christ, beloved. They all do. So start praying. God, how can you use me as a vessel? Here I am, send me. How can you use me? I'll make you a promise according to God's word. He will. In some way, shape, or form, He will give you inspiration to be used for His glory and His honor, to build up the body of Christ and to lead others to Christ in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be together as Your beloved. Our time is short. Our time is short. We're preparing to move. A new heaven, a new earth, the kingdom of heaven, Lord, is at hand. Jesus, You said that. Help us to live a life pleasing unto You as we are here. You are so full of grace and truth, Lord. Fill us with that same grace and truth, that mercy and the love, compassion of God, the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Help us. You said You save to the uttermost. Help us to be those ambassadors, those ministers of reconciliation. In Jesus' name. And all of Spencerport Bible Church said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.